I am Negan.
I am Negan.
I am Negan.
And what's up, people? Welcome to another episode of I Am Negan, a TWD Universe podcast. My name is Adam Vale. I am a senior editor over at The Coalition with a K, coalition.com, and I'm joined by editor-in-chief of The Coalition, Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, Adam? What's up, listeners and viewers?
And Throwdown Shows, Carlos Romero.
Yo, what's going on?
What's going on, people? Thanks again, everybody, for constantly tuning in for all of this craziness with The Walking Dead. It's still going, and we're still covering it, and that's what we do. And this is for The Walking Dead, the ones that live, season one, episode three, bye. So, real quick, housekeeping, thanks again for the support over on iTunes, YouTube, and Spotify for following and commenting and just getting involved. And It's always great, you know, just for the content itself, just for The Walking Dead. People are still interested in The Walking Dead. And it seems like, according to the viewership with AMC, yeah, people are. They've come back. So that's good to hear. So thanks again for that. And again, this is a spoiler discussion. So if you have not seen this episode yet, you can go on AMC Plus and watch it, or just wait till it airs on your local cable channel, AMC. So with that out the way, 3, 2, 1, let's get started. This was a disappointment. Oh, this was a disappointment. At least for me. I see Rich laughing already. And so as we were watching this, my eyes couldn't roll harder. Like, it just, as I mentioned, it reminded me of, as the dialogue is just spewing from all these characters, I just kept thinking of Mad Men. And just seeing Don Draper just falling out of the building, like, you know, just dropping. Because I'm like, that's what's happening to this story. It's turned into an episode of Fear the Walking Dead. The rubber band syndrome of 1 minute you're for it, next minute you're against it, then you're for it and you're against it. And it's just springing back and forth constantly. If this is what's going to happen for the remainder, which is only three more episodes, then this isn't good. This isn't good, because the storytelling right now, it's falling apart. The way they put this right from the beginning of the episode, say years ago, and we're seeing him in the city. Now, if you remember from the first episode of the season, when he's sitting at the bench, this is Rick Grimes talking to his other buddy. He was like, hey, I'm finally going to get to go to that city. I'm finally getting out of here. My co-signment is done, and I'm going to be somebody, and da, da, da. Okay, Grimes is just there. But in this years ago, we see him walking around that city, and it's confirmed that it's that city toward the end of the episode when Jada starts talking about when he was in the city. What? What's going on? Was I the only one that caught that? Am I seeing it wrong? Rich, Carlos, did I get that wrong?
Yeah, I don't know if this was described previously, but yeah, I was kind of surprised to see him in the city. I'm like, what is he doing there? I thought they never mixed. I thought that was the whole purpose. But apparently, conscribers get to do that because Michonne, you know, it happened to Michonne. And then during, you know, skipping ahead a little bit, with the artist dude that drew the faces, he said that Rick has been doing this for a while now. So apparently Rick has been in the city way more than once. So I'm as confused as you are in terms of whether, you know, these military people get to go to the city when before it kind of made it seem like they never intermingled. It was sort of they're outside and then these are the inside. So yeah, I'm as confused as you are.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Rich?
Yeah. Yeah, so let me just add, yeah, it didn't make any sense. I personally think this scene with Jadis, this flashback, we should have got this in the first episode, not episode 3, because we already knew from previously what happened with Rick that Jadis is the one that basically saved him and brought him to this place. We saw that in The Walking Dead. So I feel like that character, they should have introduced him interacting with that character in the first episode. But obviously, they wanted to save the surprise of her being the one that's now investigating him after what happened in the second episode. But I feel like that interaction should have happened in the first episode, time-wise. It just doesn't make sense. I know they're going back, jumping all over the place, but that's the one thing I don't like about these shows with The Walking Dead, with the time jumps back and forth, because it will confuse somebody if they're not paying attention.
Well, what's also confusing is she keeps saying, "We saved you. You abducted him. You kidnapped him." What do you mean save? There was other people there that survived. It upsets me so much, because they have this long dialogue, and this goes further into the episode right after, like where it was like before and then a few hours ago, blah, blah, blah. And we see Grimes and Jada is having this conversation back and forth. She's saying, pretty much reiterating everything we already know before. Hey, if you try to escape, and fair that I know where your family are, and I'm going to kill them. And I wrote all the stuff about you and Dana, you know, Michonne, in my notes. So if anything happens to me, it's like, okay, you're trying to do all this to cover. So that way, for the viewers, we're like, why doesn't he just take her out? But it still doesn't bring up the overwhelming question is, why is Rick here? Why did she pick him when, as we brought up before, it looks like his only goal was to just kill walkers at the wall? It doesn't make sense. What makes him so special? You would think, go ahead.
And that is the biggest question of the show, because it doesn't make any kind of sense why they single out Rick as being so important to their cause. It doesn't make sense. Obviously, we as viewers know that Rick was a leader on the Walking Dead show, obviously a very popular character. But it doesn't make sense. What makes him so special that the CRM would want him to be now have a high role in what they're doing? It doesn't make any kind of sense. You know, it would make sense if there was some motivation behind that. Maybe they realize that he has a particular set of skills that only he has, you know, like Liam Neeson. But this is not what this is. So it doesn't make any sense.
And pulling and trying to integrate someone by force never works. Never works. Mm-hmm. So if this was the goal, hey, we need you. You're a leader. We need to get you in our system to help us build this community. Then he could say, well, can I bring some of my own people, like my family and some of my second in command? I mean, clearly it's a team effort to build the community that we have at Alexandria. It's not just all me. Yeah. We could use all the hands that we can get that are familiar with this process. We need the A's, as they put it, right? The A's and the B's. We need A's. But no, scrap that. None of that happens. If they get you and you're an A, which is a free thinker who asks questions, you go to the wall. Well, clearly you know Rick's goals and what he was accomplishing outside of this. So he's an A, so you just needed him to clear the wall? And Jay, this is all about, oh, well, I did all this for you. If this falls apart, then I fall apart. What falls apart? You brought a guy to work the wall. He's not like, you didn't bring him in and he's like a master or commander or major commander, whatever other title they want to give him. They gave him no title. He was just a code signee. He's just a guy killing, trying to get into the city, which he didn't even want to get into. And he kept saying he didn't want to go there. But yet clearly we see in this episode, he's been there. So, and I know some people listening are like, but we had them. I think what they're trying to say when they said years ago is that this is now within that time that he became a CRM, and some of the privileges he has is to go into the city, right? Because when maybe that's it. Maybe this is during that same visit that when he saw his buddy at the bench and asked about, hey, how can I get out of here? And he was like, oh, if I was you, I wouldn't go through the combo and blah, 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 blah. Maybe it's that time. Okay. But it still doesn't add up with all of this, because Michonne is not part of the CRM, but she's walking around the city. So explain that.
I will push back on one point. Get ready, Rich. The whole Rick part, I do understand a little bit. It's not, I mean, it doesn't make the whole sense of the world, but there is some means to the madness. Obviously, Jadis is the one that saved Rick in the riverbed and saved his life and brought him to the place and to the CRM. And now Okafor is taking a liking to Rick. He gave him the whole spiel that he's an A. They don't really want A's because if they want A's, those people take over. But Okafor bucked the trend and he got Rick and he got homegirl's name. What's her name?
Thorn.
He got Rick, he got Thorn, and those were his A's. And you know, sort of the main dude that we saw earlier this episode and we saw in the previous episodes, he's still not sure of these people.
Master General.
Oh no, I have a comment after you go.
Yeah, you know, just the whole fact that someone like with the, you know, Okafor got this whole funeral, so he was well respected. He's the head of command. He was well respected amongst everyone, and Rick was one of his right hand people. So, you know, in that aspect, I can see why Rick has gotten a lot of credit and a lot of shine with a lot of these people. So, I don't have as big of an issue with that as you guys do. Just that point.
Okay, I was going to say real quick. I think you make a very good point. And yes, because of Okafor and how he was viewed, it makes sense why, again, they believe that Rick has potential. But I do want to say this, because I found this hilarious, how Major Beal, in the very first episode, he asked Rick, hey, do you trust Okafor? Do you think he's somebody that I can trust? Because he wasn't sure about Okafor. And then in this episode, now he doesn't trust Rick. So I did laugh when I saw that interaction. I'm like, this guy doesn't trust anybody. So why? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And here it is. You're saying you don't trust Okafor, but then the two people that were closest to him, now you're promoting them. It's like you don't have anybody else. Are there any other commanders that you do trust that had other people? Because then we see Thorn, she gets promoted to Okafor's position, and she's been awakened because she said she had the briefing, and now she knows everything. She's seen the light, so she's all on board with the whole thing. And it just throws all these questions as to why Rick, why this, why are there no one else? This show needs more characters from the CRM side. That's pretty much, I think, would at least balance it out just to see, because right now it makes it look like it's the Master Commander, there was Okafor, and then everybody else. Okafor died, so then Master Commander's like, oh, I have nobody. You two are close. You come in. Come on, Thorn. We're going to go talk. But yet we see all these soldiers, and we know Jadis is there, but what's her position? What's her title? Because then that's the other thing. When it says the before, and we see her with the long hair, and she's walking around, she's like, wow, they really have something good going on here, and this, as if she's new there. But that doesn't add up with the timeline, because during this timeline, she's already in the CRM, dealing with the world beyond kids, and harassing them. And
let me just make a comment. I think when they had their first shot, and it said years ago, they needed to put a number on how many years this was.
They didn't know a number. That's why they put that. They didn't know a number.
Yeah.
I think that the time and the window is also messing with them, which is why they went very vague with years ago.
Oh, no, I agree. Because what I envision is that this happened sometime after she saved Rick. They went to this place, and she obviously worked her way up the ranks to eventually become, because she did give them information. She told them about Rick. That's why they gave her this position, and she worked her way up from there to get to where she is right now. But obviously, a lot of that stuff you didn't see on the show. We saw bits and pieces of it on World and World, the other Walking Dead spinoff, but we didn't really see any other stuff of how they did this. So,
oh, man, I don't know. And then maybe it's too much. It's confusing. If we overthink it, we're just going to get lost and sidetracked. But the gist of this now is, and this is back to the whole rubber band effect, the Michonne and Rick. The whole thing of that now that Thorne is promoted up and she's pretty much Rick's boss, she's questioning the whole thing with Michonne. She was like, well, clearly she can handle herself. We saw that whole interaction where this is Michonne killing some walkers. She makes a new friend that's there. She's asking how long you're going to be here for training. You don't look like you need the training. And sure enough, she doesn't. She's killing all of the walkers herself. She's not shocked by any of this. And that's the thing. It's a good, the community, the way they see it is if you can kill, then they don't want you in the city. They want other normies and stuff. But if you are a soldier like this, then you're either going to just work the wall or join the CRM. That's the process here. So now it looks like Thorne wants to recruit Michonne in a way to do all this. But then after that whole conversation that Rick had with Jadis, he's like, and this is what I brought up when watching, she's threatening him constantly. This whole segment here is like, oh, I'm going to do this and ruin you. I know everything. If anything happened, blah, blah, blah. And then the next thing we see is there's a note in her locker. This is Michonne's locker. Here's a key. Here's a map. Go out there. Get out. There's going to be a canoe and you're going to be free. And also, so why did you have all that filler? What? Clearly, none of this matters. You don't care. Because if she knows where Alexandria is, this is Jadis, she's going to go there. She said this. So whether...
Here's my biggest issue with that aspect. Obviously, overall, I felt like the episode was fine. I didn't dislike it. But my biggest issue with everything is the way that Rick and Michonne were communicating throughout this episode. Obviously, they can't communicate that often because they don't want to look suspicious, but they do the most suspicious things. You know, the Rick pulling her to the side and talking to her while people are walking out the door and stuff. It's like, I don't understand Rick's...
Okay. The best one, just to link with that, when he took his helmet off and just gawks at her in the open. Like, yo, you're making it so obvious. Just leave your helmet on. That's just, it's like, why did you take... No one... We don't see any other CRM taking their helmet off in front of these people. But he stops, stands there, takes the helmet and just like bug-eyed, staring her down. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's like... just be straight. Like, just tell her the important information. Be like, Michonne, Jadis is here. She knows everything. If I leave, Alexandra is burnt to the crisp, or Judith is dead. That's all he needs to say. But he says everything except that. And then somehow it's like, oh, you got to leave. Here, we're leaving together. But no, actually, you leave. If you love me, you leave. It's like, it's so frustrating to see that part because they spend all this time going out one back door, sending out notes. Rick could have written this down. You could have written this down before, or you could have talked it out with her. Instead, they literally got months and months and months of time to do this. Literally, they can wait a month and just talk it out throughout, you know, a day a week or a note a week or something. And go through everything, but it's like, oh, let me just get rid of her quick. And that's the part that frustrates me, because we can pretty much get to the same point. If he's upfront with her, it'll make a lot more sense and maybe be more understandable towards the character dynamic to see where everything goes. But no, Rick has to just be like, oh, leave if you love me.
It's like a soap opera. It's like if you've ever watched a soap where you want the real story to come out. It's like, oh, just tell them that you're pregnant and all this stuff. Go. Wait, is there something you want to tell me? No, I can wait until you come back. You know, and you're like, oh, and then he dies in a car crash or something. You know, or his plane goes down and he's missing in the Alps. It's the same thing here. You know, we're seeing all of that. Just like you said, Carlos, there's all these holes. And this is not how people speak. This is not how it happens. People, like you said, would come up front and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is that. Oh, yeah, guess what? While you were away, I reproduced our child. We have one. RJ, what? We have another kid? Yes, we do. And all this craziness. I mean, just no. Instead, it's like, we have plenty of time. I'll bring it up next time. You don't know that. You could die tomorrow.
So I just want to make a comment. I agree on a lot of the points that you both made. It is frustrating. But I do want to make it clear that I also didn't have any major problems with this episode because, to me, they already told us from the beginning, this is a love story. So, obviously, they're going to have their ups and downs, drag the storyline out. And this is why they should have went with your idea, Adam, which is have them escape in the second episode and then have the rest of the season be Jadis and them trying to track down Rick. That would have been a far better story to go. But, obviously, they're taking the scenic route and telling the story and having this whole thing where Rick is like, oh, well, it's too dangerous. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to stay here. And he should have known better to know Michonne that she was not going to leave. So that was pretty stupid of Rick. But I expected this type of writing for this particular situation with the back and forth drama because they have six episodes. They got to stretch the story out and they're still there in a situation in which it looks like they can't escape. So I understand that, but yeah, it is frustrating. And to go to the point that Adam made about the fact that Michonne still hasn't told Rick he has a son. Also the fact that Rick never ever told Michonne about Jadis. He waited until the end of the episode when she saw Jadis, and then it's like, okay, yes, this is why I can't leave. Very ridiculous. Yeah. It's all about clear communication with your partner. This is what this is about. This is communication
horrible. Is important. That's what I'm saying. It's like, so then, just so we can get on course with this, as we know, Michonne gets through the whole puzzle to get to the canoe, finds a note, and then it's like, oh, from Rick, I'm not going. You need to get out of here. You don't belong here. I'm stuck here, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they could have escaped in episode one. With all the commotion and the fire, everything could have just said, hey, we all died. Everybody died here. Took his hand off, take hand, threw it on the floor, and then ran off into the woods. But no. And of course, like we all know, that she's not going to leave him. And then sure enough, after he goes back, Rick, and starts talking to Jadis, like, hey, listen, I took care of it. She did escape. But I'm here. I'm going to play the rules, the whole thing. I'm going to be here for you because we're both connected. He just spits back the same speech that she gave him. You know, they go through that whole motion. And she says, okay, well, I have to go do some stuff. And then when I come back, I'll take lead and I'll make sure I'll say that I found her body over there. Because he says he left the body there and then she's dead. But then sure enough, he finds out from Thorne and is like, oh, look, your friend. She's doing great down there. It's like, what? And then sure enough, she's out there just jabbing away, killing a bunch at once. Everybody else on the line is like in awe. They're like, oh, wow, look what she's doing. She's just one after another. And the easy and what we just said is all communication. All she has to do, if next time when he's like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you just leave? She could said, because our kids, you know, plural, our kids need their father also. And just kept walking. What? I have a son or a daughter. What? You know, do something. It's just so dumb. And it upsets me because it's like they're trying to tell this serious story to get us invested emotionally, but yet they don't want the characters invested emotionally. Because if you say this to Rick, we know how he is, especially with Judith. He's definitely going to, that's going to be a trigger that now he has another kid to take care of. He's going to go ahead, throw some flashbacks of Carl and how he let Carl down and all that stuff. And he's like, no, I can't do it again. Let's go. You know what I mean? Then we could get on that ball. But no. And maybe that'll happen later. But it's kind of dumb that we're not getting that dialogue now.
I agree 100%, and I do want to point this out. For those that are watching the show, if they didn't pick up the whole conversation that Michonne had with the artist when he was talking about the pictures that he was drawing and the fact that he mentioned Judith and Michonne, didn't mention Rick Jr. So clearly, they are telling you that is the reveal that she's finally going to let Rick know this information, unless he just finds out later on. But she's going to let him know. Because, again, they're emphasizing, obviously, he still doesn't know he has a kid, another kid. So that, I think, was intentional on the writer's part because they're telling you this multiple times. Well, she Rich, didn't want to tell him. Go ahead. Yeah.
I think to be fair to the show, I think we spent more time with Rick and Michonne making out than they have been talking.
Well, they make out in every episode so far.
Yeah.
They always find time to make out.
That's the romance, right? This is the the love story type of thing that they wanted, the soap opera drama that they wanted people to see. So
we get a Master Commander gives a whole speech, right? That was another segment that we got. It was a nice set design. You got all the soldiers lined up. You got Thorn and Grimes in the crowd. He gives a whole speech. He's got a sword. He talks about how he got this from some caravan that was, whether they were stealing or salvaging or whatever, for which is his words about supplies. I mean, old Civil War memorabilia and things like that. And he finds his sword. It's like, all right, whatever. This is filler. Because then after it is when we get that conversation where we see Thorn and Grimes and Master Commander. And then he says, Thorn, we have to talk. And he's like, I still don't know about you guys. And da, da, da. But he promotes her. She comes running into Grimes' room. I got promoted. Look at me. I got. I'm going to be the boss. Like, okay. And she is drinking the Kool-Aid, and now she knows about their main mission, right? Cool scene. They're in a helicopter. They're flying out to a location where the goal is to clear a bunch of walkers, right? They're all en route to one of their locations that they have, and the bombs that they've been dropping have been hitting the rocks and stuff, not on target. So the goal, which sounds cool, and I thought it was going to be pretty cool, and it was 50-50 on how they executed this scene, is that they are going to get a unit all together. And Michonne is invited to this, but for some reason, she has to stay back for Drifters, right? She's just given the spear weapon. She can't come forward. And I was like, all right, well, again, it doesn't really make much sense. If you're sending a whole hit squad, you're going to need all hands on deck for something like this. Whatever. So they're there. It's foggy. They're on the ground. The goal is to then take this battering ram, which has a beacon and a bomb on it, and just drive it right into the heart of this big herd, and then run back and then have it explode and kill them all. So I'm like, all right, this is going to be great. We get this long speech from Thorn, right? She gets this long, right? We got to do this. Are you with me? Or it's like, okay, she's really stepping up. And then right after, she walks up to Grimes, and it's like a full 180 change. Oh boy, I can't believe this is happening. You know, doing the whole like still wowed by this. It better work. And it just throws me off when that happens. But they go into it, right? So they start fighting, and there's all this stuff going on. It's really foggy. And this is Thorn trying to pick up the battering ram, I guess, from the back end to wheel it in. And she's having trouble. It's stuck or whatever. So she just starts shooting off her gun, the whole thing. Rick is out there doing his thing. There's some other soldiers. And Michonne is supposed to stay in the back. And she just gets fed up. She picks it up herself. She goes ramming it through. They get this nice first-person view from the ram. It's just mowing down all the walkers. And then Rick comes up next to her. And it's like he's going to help her out. Ramming them through. And this is when I said, I'm like, oh, this is when they escape. This is the next perfect time, because here it is, really foggy, walkers everywhere. You're about to set off a bomb. Yeah, what happens when an explosion? Things die, which is the goal, right? And then they could just say they died and then go running off. But on the flip side, where are they? It looks like they're deep in the woods somewhere, right? It's not for the best to disappear there. You'll just die in the wilderness. But anyway, they set it up and then they head back. They go running back to where they're supposed to take cover. It beeps. It blows up. We think they got the job done. We see Rick and Michonne have their heart to heart in their moment, like we've been talking about. They start making out again, you know. And I would say to myself, this is when they get busted, right? This is when Thorn, with her scope on her rifle, sees this. It doesn't happen. I think that would have been better following what happens in the next scene, right? Because we see now that they're all fighting, and Thorn is there with her rifle, with the scope, and who does she have in her sights? Michonne. Why is she lifting up her gun to take out Michonne? The only thing we can think of is she's jealous. You know, she gave a quick, right? Go ahead, Rich.
Because she disobeyed a direct order not to do all this other stuff.
So then death makes sense.
That's not the
Okaford way. That's not the Okaford. She gave a whole speech about Okaford way. She tried to kill Okaford, and he's like, no. He's like, don't worry, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna get you into the system. Same thing with Grimes, right? He's like, oh, I kept trying to die, tried to kill him, and he never let me. He never gave up on me. He kept pushing, but Thorne is going to just shoot this woman. Clearly, she was helping, wasn't trying to escape. She helped. It didn't. It would have made more sense if I'm going with the jealousy angle, right? That's what I'm going with. Only because it was at the other conversation when she was interrogating Michonne and she started talking about Grimes. Like, he's family. He's family to me. And this and that. And no. Why'd you save him? And no. It's like, all right, so maybe family, meaning I see him more of a love interest to help me create this family. Then it would make sense because then it's sort of like a jealousy of like she wants to be with him. And then she sees that there's some kind of connection with these two. And she wants to just nip it in the bud and get her out. That's it. But it doesn't make sense if she's all following Okaford. And I know she says she doesn't agree with him and everything, to then just kill someone who is clearly going to be an asset to help them in this fight.
So let me make a quick comment, and then I will go to Carlos because I think Carlos had something to say. Thorne and Rick had a conversation in the first episode when he made it clear that he lost somebody. He was trying to get back to somebody. So if this character is smart, Thorne, she will eventually figure out, oh, Michonne is the person that Rick was looking for, and her name is not Dana. She should figure all this out. Now, I will say this. Carlos was the one who had said from the first episode, he sensed that perhaps Thorne might try to get with Rick. And that's why I was okay with this, because they're building to this, obviously, with the confrontation. Because eventually Michonne is probably going to have to take her out. This is coming. We can see this coming now because of the fact that she had her gun on Michonne in this episode. But I kind of feel like that is the direction they're going to take. Jealousy type of thing. But again, if Thorne is a smart character, as they told us, that conversation she had with Rick in the first episode, that wasn't thrown in there just for whatever. You know, she should figure out this is the person that Rick is closest to and wants to try to get back with. So I need to prevent that from happening. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, what's her name? Thorne isn't a bad guy in this story. So they're trying to put Rick, you know, between a rock and a hard place and trying to figure out how he's going to maneuver this whole thing, even if it's not a romantic aspect of it. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because the thing with Thorne is she mentioned, he's like, yeah, I'm not Okafor, so I can't do what he did. She mentioned in this episode. I think that's why her instinct was to kill Michonne. She's like, yeah, she just disobeyed my orders. I can't trust her. So it made sense to her character.
I don't know. And also the whole thing with Jadis, she doesn't interact with any of these other characters. It's almost like a Fight Club situation. Does she even exist? Is it just in his head? You know what I mean? It's like,
and that right there is also a complaint that I agree with. I didn't see her interact with the Major, although she is still working for all these people. So, yeah, they need to
interact
that
with the Major, episodes. Doesn't interact with Thorne, doesn't really say her. I don't think she's ever explained her title. We know she's in that situation. We in the CRM, and we know she's a real person because of World Beyond. So it's not like he's just seeing her in this. But what part does she have to play? How important is she? Clearly now, it looks like everyone else is above her, because as we saw at the ending of this episode, it looks like Rick is getting promoted also, because he got called into the Major General's office for a briefing, and it's from his actions of helping blow up all these walkers. So it just throws me off with all of that again. I'm just trying to figure out how all these pieces put together make sense, because at this point it doesn't. You know, and with him trying to get her out and saying he's going to, toward the end of the episode, that's it. It's over. Everything we had, it's over. You need to just leave. He's telling this to Michonne. Why? Why? I mean, you only said you had one thing to live for, your family. But yet, you're willing to stay there for what? Because Jada said that she's going to go in and hunt down the family and kill. Like I just mentioned, we don't see that she has any pull. We don't see that she has. She doesn't have meetings with the major. She wasn't even there when all the soldiers were being talked about. Like, you know, when they had the commanders and the major general was there, she should have been part of his crew. He had a crew of people there. She's not a major player. So I don't see how he should hold any weight to what she's saying. Doesn't make sense. And he, if anything, if he really cares about his crew and he respects his crew back in Alexandria, so say, oh yeah, come and get her. Come and get all of them. You're gonna die. Daryl is gonna take you out. You know what I mean? I got people there. You know, don't worry about it. But it doesn't flow well for me. And but it all leads to the end result, which again, I am not too sure of. And you guys can leave in the comments. And then, of course, here on the panel, we could try to discuss this. So why were they in a helicopter? Where were they going at the last scene? Where were they going?
They were on their way back to base. You know, Thorn told Rick that I want you to send Michonne back to consignment. I don't want to see her again.
So they were still in the woods. All right. So this is the return flight. Because yes. I thought they were already back because remember she said that, oh, the major general wants to have a briefing with you. So I took that as, oh, he is there.
Yeah.
They're back at the base. All right. So they're flying back. Yet. And then
they're flying back and then Michonne, you know, grabs Rick and they jump out the helicopter. So clearly that's going to be an issue in the next episode because they're going to be looking for where the hell is Rick at. He's supposed to have an important meeting with the general. He's supposed to get promoted. So, yeah, that creates a problem. A few problems.
One, I hope they were over a body of water. That's that's hope. I mean, when they were flying over, we did see some lakes and some stuff, you know, so hopefully she timed it because it was at night, right? I mean, I don't know the height, but I'm sure it was a few thousand feet. There's no surviving that. If you're hitting some trees, you know, no parachutes. I don't know if they had parachutes. I didn't see them wearing them. Maybe they will. I don't know. They'll show that. But that was a crazy scene to see that she just grabs Grimes and throws him at both of them. They just go flying out this helicopter. At this point, I guess this could be the escape. This could be like the fugitive type of thing. You know, it's like they're on the run. I don't know if this is where the show is going now. Like she felt like this was the only way to get him to snap out of this. Because she even said this, Michonne, when she was talking to her artist, that she is now looking for someone. She's looking for the Rick Grimes that she fell in love with. She's looking for the guy to snap out of this, like, oh, I have to stay here. And which is also kind of weird because at the beginning of the first episode, he made it seem like he had a whole plan of how they were going to get out together. And yeah, Jada threw the wrench and all that, but I still don't see how she applies to any of this. So whatever. But right there, what did you guys think of that? What do you think is going to happen? I swear, if they cut to the next episode and we see that they're all wet and they just got scooped up because remember, they have the tracking on them. You know, it's that button. I think you could hit the button, but I think that also if it's a body of water, it's at night. You don't, if you jump in, if you fall into the water, you're hoping that you're in the deepest part because of the drop, the force. But if you're in a shallow part, then you're going to hit the bottom. But my point is, if you're in the center of this lake, that's a lot of swimming to get to shore. And I'm sure people in the helicopter are going to notice that two passengers are missing. So they'll turn a spotlight, look down. It's going to be fairly easy to see where these people are if they're in a lake. I mean, I don't know. My whole thing is, how do you think they explain this and what happens in the next episode? Carlos?
Yeah, I feel like, well, first off, I think they had landing gear to, you know, maybe a parachute or something, because I don't know, it just seemed like something they would have if they're in these types of situations. I don't think they landed in a body of water. The whole thing with what's going to happen, I'm not too sure of, because I don't know if when Rick yelled at Michonne saying it's over, like if he was being serious or if he's just telling her that so she can leave for her own safety. I can't really tell. I just hope that they actually talk about the stakes and what's going on in this next episode while they're in the thing, and they can plan something out for when they hit the button. They have a plan on what's going to happen next and what they're going to do, because that's right now they're all doing their own thing, pretending they know what they're doing best for the other person, and they understand what the other person is going through, which at this point they don't. And Rick doesn't even know he has another kid, which is ridiculous at this moment.
Well, I personally think the next episode is about couples therapy. You know, you saw Michonne said that we need time. We need our break time, so to speak. So I'm pretty sure that Rick is going to find out about RJ in the next episode, because they're going to be spending time together for the majority of that episode. You may see the general and stuff. Maybe you'll see Jadis approach the general, and she basically gives him information about who this guy is so that they can start looking for him. I don't know. But obviously the next episode is about them spending together, trying to work through their stuff and communicate. So that's all I'm expecting from the next episode. I'm not expecting anything major outside of that. And obviously the conflict back and forth of him talking about, oh, we need to go back, we got to go back, all this other stuff. That's what I expect in the next episode.
Well, that and Michonne just asking questions of like, how does Jadis play a part in this? Because remember, that was the other scene where Jadis and Grimes talking. It's like, oh, you think she's going to see me? Oh, she's looking over. She sees me. If that's a thing, if she even exists. Again, I might be going too far over, but a part of me keeps thinking that she's in his head. She's not really there. And he's lost his mind. Because maybe we'll find out when it's like, oh, and the reason why Jadis was there. And Michonne was like, what do you mean Jadis is there? Well, you saw us talking. I saw you just standing there mumbling. There was somebody with you? Oh, no. What's going on with you, Rick? I don't know. Part of me thinks that she's not really there.
Oh, no. She's definitely there, because that scene, you know, even Michonne saw her also. And that was why she had that reaction with Rick afterwards. Because
he's talking to himself. He's looking crazy. That's why. I'm telling you, I remember Fight Club. People, you remember, like, no, everybody knew. It's like sidetracking. I'm just saying, in Fight Club, was even the girlfriend real? That was the other thing. I think she's not even there either. So, but that's, I'm just wondering if he's been all messed up in the head, Rick is. He's had a lot of issues. So I'm just trying to figure out how she fits into this whole story and this triangle, because we already have somebody who clearly is going to hunt Rick down, and that is going to be Thorn, right? Thorn is the thorn in Rick's side for this season.
I don't think so. I think it's Jadis. I think it's, you know, you could say Thorn as well, but Jadis, because they've been building this from the very beginning, from the whole thing about the fact that she saved him and brought him to this place. They've been building up this character. They had her in World Beyond as a villain. Obviously, I think she is the main villain. You could say the general is in there, but he's only had two scenes in all three of these episodes. Whereas Jadis, she's been throughout this episode. She was in the previous episode. I feel like that's the main villain.
But she hasn't had scenes with the others. And it doesn't seem like she has that type of power, which is what I'm trying to... That has to be explained then. When it happens, she has to come out and say, well, this is what's going on. That is his wife. I knew about this. She's going to get in trouble right there. That doesn't even sound right just saying that. So she can't say it. So how does she interject herself into trying to do this? It's not a rescue mission. I guess it's just like a manhunt to get Rick and Michonne back.
Well, they have some stuff they have to explain. But what I was going to say is that obviously she is one of the end game villains, because she said multiple times, what are you going to do, Rick? Are you going to kill me? Obviously, Rick is not going to be the one that kills her. It's going to be Michonne. I can see this coming from a mile away. So stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen, because that should be a very interesting confrontation. But that's where this is headed. Eventually, she's going to get killed, because she said if she gets killed, all of that, all the files, all the stuff she has, that's her contingency plans. All that stuff she has will get out there. So that's going to probably happen in the season finale, if I had to make a guess, to make even more drama next season. Yeah,
I was just thinking about something. I was like, think about it. We're talking about Jadis. For somebody who just watched The Walking Dead Mothership, to see this wackadoodle and the light over there with all her weird followers, remember, talking crazy and doing weird things, to where she is now. If somebody did not watch, which most people did in World Beyond, it just seems like baffling. Like, what?
Well,
how?
I mean, to me, it's not that baffling, because this same actress was who they thought was going to play Alpha. So they're still giving her some type of role as an adversary. So I don't have an issue with that.
No. As an actress, she's fantastic. As an actor, you know, she's delivering. Yeah. It's fine. It fits. But for someone, if they're jumped in from Mothership to this, and they're like, okay, so who's the new big bad? It's like, how is the psycho lady from the scrapyard the big bad? Like, what? How did she play? It doesn't make sense. We knew that she was calling for someone. We knew that was always the plan. Because remember, she was running up to the front and she's calling a helicopter or something. They're coming. But she was even talking crazy then. You know, so it's like, oh, she's lost it. She's talking about, like, God or something. No, it's... And then now she turns into hard-ass military woman. So, with a bad haircut, as we all said, I said a bad haircut, and then it gets brought up in the show. Rick was like, oh, look at you and your haircut. You know, so, all right, well, what do you think? I didn't like this episode right off the bat. I'll say, if we're giving it a score or anything like that, this is just a 5. It's not horrible, but it's just the storytelling. You know, that great set designs and all this stuff, but the story is just not consistent, and it's not gelling, and it's just leaving all these little holes. I don't like the holes. Some people are like, oh, you need this. That way it keeps you coming for more, for answers. No, but it's like we talked about before, communication. The way Michonne and Rick are communicating is not how people really communicate. In the real world, this is not how we would communicate. We wouldn't leave important information about, oh, I have another child, or, oh, you know, we have this situation going on, and we need to figure out a way to get... No.
I do agree. This is not how things happen in the real world, but it is definitely how things happen in the movie and TV world. There's a lot of movies where it's a romance story or whatever. Somebody lies. There's a breakup. There's a makeup. So this is what I said. I expected them to have this with these two characters because they're reunited too quickly. Now you have to tell and drag out the story and make it dramatic as to, well, how are they going to escape? So I figured that we're going to do this because I wasn't expecting that reunion to happen in episode 2.
Yeah.
My thought is, I think it's still an okay show. I want to see what their end game is with the next couple episodes, because then I will know for sure by the end of the season. But I still think this is still better than World Beyond. That show is hot garbage.
Oh yeah.
And Tales of the Walking Dead as well.
Yeah.
That show was trash as well.
But, Fear of the Walking Dead.
And fear got real bad. It got bad toward the end. And the sad part with all of this is that people are like, well, you guys keep bringing up these horrible stories. We sort of have to, because the CRM is integrated in all of those other ones. So we have to bring this up, because I still feel at some point we're going to see some kind of connection, whether certain cast members from World Beyond show up or from Fear. Remember, there was the other two of the, I'm blanking on the character's name, but there was the reporter who went off, and she had the girlfriend that she was dating that was also part of the CRM, who was a pilot. There's a
lot. And Morgan and Mo.
Then Morgan and Mo, yeah, and we're there en route. But I mean, just the CRM itself, of how it played a major part in all the other spinoffs, whether they were good or bad, it didn't matter. They're there, and they provide a lot of story elements that can piece together, find out more about the CRM. And so it sucks if no one was really paying attention to those spinoffs, because then we already know how many units, we already know how this worked and why it's there. I can see a lot of people that were just Walking Dead proper followers looking at this and like, why did they just create this out of nowhere? What is this special force? When it hasn't, it's always been there for years, just within the spinoffs. You know, it's the big bad of the spinoffs, the CRM. So I don't, and I think it'll probably continue on. I wouldn't be surprised if they tie it into the Daryl one and with Dead City in some way. Because right now they're not connected to those two. And I would prefer they're not. But if they want to keep going with this, where it's almost like the CRM is the evil empire, if we're going to look at like Star Wars terms, then it's always going to be there and it's going to find its way into everything. And they're going to, I still, like the main actor that they have playing Major General, like you said, Rich, he's only had a handful of scenes, but he is a known actor. You don't hire him just to deliver one or two lines in an episode and then disappear. He's going to play a major part. Something's going to happen that's going to require him to act, to get involved, get his hands dirty. And I'm assuming they're going to leave this with a cliffhanger. There's no surprise. They're going to come back for a second season. I don't know if they announced it, but I think we're pretty much sure they are, right? Because the Dead City has a second season. Daryl has a second season. Rich?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there will be another season. They haven't announced anything. But one comment I do want to make. I do agree that I do not want to see all these shows connected, but it seems that they all have the very similar approach that they're taking, where they will drag out the storyline and make it more dramatic with certain stuff. Like, for example, with the Dead City, it's the whole, will Negan and Maggie, will they or won't they kill each other? With the Daryl show, will Daryl go back to Paris? Will he go back home or will he stay in Paris? And then in this show, it's will Rick and Michonne escape or are they going to stay there? So this seems to be the central theme that they're having, the dramatic, the back and forth. And I guess that's what I noticed. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that noticed.
I have, Rich, I got to interject. I have a prediction.
Okay.
prediction time. I have a feeling that what's going to happen is Rick and Michonne are going to kill Jadis, and it's going to trigger the whole, in my will or whatever the hell she has left behind, it's going to let everyone know where they are and everything about Rick and stuff, right? So mm-hmm. Rick and Michonne are going to end the season by killing Jadis, and I have a feeling that the first thing they're going to do is take a helicopter and get to Alexandria to warn everyone that they're all in danger. Get with the kids, get everyone, and here we go. They're gonna get the Alexandria people and tell them that they need to relocate or something's gonna happen, and then this is where Carol comes in. Carol is made aware of this, and she's like, "Oh heck, they're coming. We need a Daryl with this." And then and this whole this next season, what's going to happen is Carol is going to Paris or France to get with Daryl and be like, yo, things are going to go down over here in Alexandria because we have this thing called the CRM going after us. And by the way, Rick is back or something. I don't know why. I just feel like that, and actually it makes sense the way if they can tie that.
It's one thing that breaks all of that, Carlos. There's one thing that, nope. You ready? Michonne doesn't know where the Commonwealth is. Remember, the kids and everyone are at the Commonwealth. They're not in Alexandria.
I don't know. I was talking about Alexandria.
But that's what I'm saying. When they get there, who's there? Because everybody else is at the Commonwealth. So it's going to be like, all right, well, now we're here. Now we have to go. Where? Because everybody, from what we've seen from the last one, they were all there. They were all at the Commonwealth. That's their new community.
Not everyone.
Because we know Maggie left. Remember, Maggie's over doing her own thing.
Well, Maggie's in
maybe
the hilltop.
Aaron. Maggie's in the hilltop. Yeah, she's in the hilltop. So who's there? Aaron? Maybe Aaron? Is Aaron the only one that's there? But their kids aren't there.
They still got people there. I don't know exactly. From the last episode of The Walking Dead proper, I don't remember who leapt in which place, but they were scattered into the Commonwealth, Alexandria, and the hilltop.
Because the last thing I remember, it was Maggie. Remember, she was at the gate when Daryl showed up with the soldiers and the whole thing, and it was like, what do you want? This and that. And that was Alexandria. That wasn't hilltop. She was there. Later on in the Dead City, she mentions about the hilltop or in the brick city or whatever she called it. Remember the other community that she created, and then she left that. But I don't think that was Alexandria or Hilltop. So it's all over the place. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go. And we know Morgan is en route. And I think that what eventually will happen is if they are going toward Alexandria, because that's all Rick and Michonne know, these people are hunting them down, whether it happens in the last three episodes or in the next season, and somebody's about to kill them, and they're being held up, and all of a sudden someone gets a staff to the head, and it's Morgan and Mo, and they're like, we were just trying to get to Alexandria, and we heard noises, and I don't know. Who knows? It's a lot. I do agree with you, Carlos. It's all going to connect at some point, whether it's this or the next season. I think that's their end game. They're going to make this like the Avengers. You know, everyone unites. I could see that happening. But I think if that happens, it's a final send-off, right? If you do it's over.
Remember, the Commonwealth, the thing that at least I was complaining the most about, and you guys were complaining about this too, is the final villain of The Walking Dead proper was just weak.
Yeah, that governor.
The governor of the Commonwealth, she was not adequate to be a final villain. Her character was fine, but you know, just being the big bad of what ended the show was the worst. You know, it just didn't make sense. And I feel like the CRM, hopefully, they can prop it up to be like this big foe that they can actually take on, and hopefully it can be something that, because these guys aren't going to be doing Walking Dead forever. Maybe Daryl.
Well, he's Walking Dead for life. He said that at the cons. Well,
I agree that the CRM as a main villain, I like that a lot. You know, what you both said, but Adam's comment said, "Well, this is the end of the show." No, it's not, because they can just make another show of Judith as she gets older. She decides to go off on her own with RJ, and then now they're the new generation of, fighters, I guess you could say, or survivors.
No, you could do that, but I mean for this storytelling, you know, like for these characters, when you have them all unite and defeat the bad, the CRM, the overarching evil force, then what? That's the same issue that the Marvel Universe Disney's having now. They ended that big arc, and then they're like, all right, now we're going to start a new arc, and people are already tuned out. They're like, I already saw all those other movies, and I saw it, I'm out. And that's that would be the issue. So whatever we're talking about isn't going to happen anytime soon, because if it does, they know that's it. It's a wrap for all these spinoffs. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how all these other ones play out, but we'll see. We got three more episodes of this one, but I guess that's it. So you like this one? I already said I wasn't fond of it. It's not my favorite of the three so far.
You gave it a 5. I would give it a 7.5 out of 10.
All right, you give it a 7.5. Rich?
That's interesting. 7.5 sounds very interesting. I'm going to say maybe a 7 or a 6.5. I don't want to say it's too good, because they obviously can improve upon, but it's 7, because I expected a lot of the stuff. This is what I expected, this soapy drama stuff, Rick and Michonne, you know, oh, woe is me, I'm crying, and all this other stuff, and why can't I find Rick? I expected that, so I think it's maybe about a 7 is okay.
All right, well, people, you can sound off in the chats over on YouTube. What do you give this episode, and where do you think this is going to end? I think that it's going to end in a cliffhanger. I don't think we're going to get any happy ending at the end of episode 6. I don't think they make it to whether it's Alexandria, Commonwealth, or wherever. But I think we have to get some shocking parts. I mean, whether someone dies unexpectedly or they encounter some friends along the road. And the only one that keeps coming to mind is Morgan and Mo. We already know Carol is en route to France. We know Daryl is there. So there goes those two. Maybe you could sprinkle in Ezekiel and some others that they find them on the road, or maybe some people from Fear or World Beyond. The sky's the limit. And some people had talked about this in on Reddit. They were like, oh, this is how they're going to integrate some of those characters from Tales of the Walking Dead. You know, if they do go out there and now the journey is traveling through the woods and all those areas. Remember, Cruz? What's his name? Is it
Terry Crews?
Terry Crews. Remember, and what's her name from Attack of the Show?
Olivia Munn.
Terry, remember their whole thing. A lot of people liked that episode that was done in Tales. And where were they? They were out in the woods in like a bunker or something. So maybe they'll encounter them. But if you do that, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But anything's possible. You know, showrunner said he wants to combine all the universes in this show in some way, in some form. And that's how you do it, through characters, right? And just sprinkle them in. They find them on their journey home, like a Wizard of Oz type of situation. If this is how it plays out for the next three, I swear, if they just come back and they're scooped up from wherever they were and they're back at the HQ or at the for the CRM, I'm going to be pissed. Because I don't want to see that. This is it. You just fell out of a helicopter over who knows where. You're free at that point, right? Because even if a helicopter wants to scoop you up, if, like you said, Carlos, say, had parachutes, okay. Well, they can't land. Helicopter can't land if there's a bunch of trees around. And it's pitch black, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in and checking us out over on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes. Thanks for rating us and subscribing and just being part of this conversation in some way. And hopefully we're all on the same page that we're just trying to figure this out as well. All right, everybody. Thanks again, and we'll be back next week for episode 4. Peace.